Welcome to Chapel at Northwestern. This is a weekly highlight from the daily chapel services at Northwestern College in St. Paul. During these chapel services, students hear from a wide variety of pastors, teachers, and Christian leaders being challenged in their faith. This week and next, we'll hear two messages from Rachel Cruz. Rachel is the daughter of financial expert Dave Ramsey, and Rachel works with Dave Ramsey's ministry, and we'll talk about finances and faith. Here's today's chapel message from Rachel Cruz.
I am so excited to be with you guys today. You know, as I'm traveling around the country, and I'm kind of thinking about the subject of money, and especially with our generation, because I'm not much older than you guys, you know, I'm finding that there's one issue that keeps coming up. And as I'm digging into it more and more, I'm seeing that this is kind of a bold statement, but it's true that this issue is the roadblock for our generation. This issue is what is causing us not to rise up and do what we feel like God is calling us to do, or going and rising up and being able to bless our families and do some cool things within our families even. And that issue is debt. And the reality is that the average college student is graduating with $27,000 in debt. Before they even start life, they're in a hole. And reality is that we are the most indebted generation in history. And reality is that our culture, our generation, who we are, is okay with that. You know, this idea that I'm always going to have debt for as long as I live is such a normal mindset. You know, as a generation, we are so okay with that. You know, it's okay. You can't be a student without a student loan. To have a nice car, you might as well just go get a car payment. You know, you have to have a credit card to survive in this world. So I'm always going to be in debt. And I look at that and I'm like, gosh, that is reality. That's what we're facing. Even to the point of like government, right? Everyone's okay that our country is going trillions of dollars into debt. We're okay with that because that's just what they do. And I look at that. I'm like, oh, what if we do what God says to do with this subject? What if we really believe and go to God's word and say, okay, God, what do you say about this subject of debt? And what if we took that path? And when you look through scripture, every time debt is mentioned in scripture, it is in a negative fashion. The borrower is slave to the lender. Do not owe anyone anything except for love. You are a fool if you guarantee someone else's loan. You're a fool if you co-sign, is what that means. You're a fool. You're a biblical fool. It's not like, what's up, fool? What's up? Right? No. This fool is a really bad fool. Okay? And so I look at that. I'm like, gosh, God, you're basically saying debt is not a wise tool. You're saying that debt, you're a fool, basically, if you go into debt. Now, is debt a sin? No. I don't think it's a sin. Is debt a salvation issue? No. So I'm not saying, oh, you have a student loan. You need to ask Jesus into your heart, right? I'm not saying that at all, okay? I believe you can be saved and have a student loan. But what I think is that there's two ways to get to Jesus on this matter, you know? There's the way to just do debt your whole life, and if that's what you choose to do, you're still going to find Jesus, right? But if you choose to go down this road and just not live with debt, I think this road, honestly, is the wiser one. Not because of what I think, because of what Scripture says. And again, this reality of thinking I could live life without debt is so beyond our mindset in America. Because these people who sell debt, people that market debt, are extremely good at what they do. Because reality is, especially in the credit card part of debt, you know, credit cards are, it's fascinating to me because people really, they really believe that you just have to have a credit card. Rachel, you know, you have to have a credit card. Well, why? To rent a car, you know, to build your credit score. There's all these myths around the idea of a credit card. And I look at that, I'm like, that's amazing to me. That one thing of life, people have marketed it so well that you believe that deep in who you are. And the scary thing about that is credit cards, the number one target of credit card companies today is you guys. It's college students. And you think about that, and I'm like, gosh, there are men in business suits sitting in boardrooms and skyscrapers at Bank of America or MasterCard or Capital One, and they literally have, you know, $50-60 million, and they're like, hey, what can we do with this? If I'm an 18-year-old girl going into college as a freshman, what marketing tool do I need to see to get her to sign up for that card? Or if I'm a 21-year-old guy and I'm about to graduate from college and I'm engaged, what do I need to see? What's the wording that he needs to see to think, oh, I gotta get that? do you guys, I mean, that's huge to me. And I saw this firsthand in college. I remember being, I think I was probably a sophomore, and we were on campus. I went to the University of Tennessee, go Vols, and our football is just awful this year. But we're going to move on past that. Every time I say go Vols, I'm like, oh, that's not like a positive term anymore because we're not great at anything. But, and so we were going off, we were off campus and we were going into a restaurant and there was this guy sitting outside the restaurant door. I'll never forget. He's at a table. There's all these papers and there's this big banner over the front. And I'm walking in with probably three girlfriends. And as we're walking past him, he said, "Hey, girls, girls, do you guys want a free dinner?" Okay, a free dinner to a broke college student, what, is like the best thing that's ever happened to you, right? It's like giving a guy Super Bowl tickets or telling a girl she can go to the royal wedding. I mean, like, it's amazing, right? I mean, it's like, yes, a free dinner, sure, I'll take that. And he said, okay, just sign up for this credit card. And my friend said, oh, yeah, it's great. And so she goes over and she starts applying for it. And I looked at him and I said, you are a genius. Because you know the number one expense college students will flippantly spend money on is food. And you're giving them what they want for free in exchange for a credit card that the average college student is graduating with around $3,000 in credit card debt. $8 for $3,000. I was like, you're brilliant. You're not giving out free t-shirts anymore. You're giving free food. Where were you guys last year, you know? And he kind of freaked out. I was like packing up his stuff. He was like, who do you work for, you crazy girl? And so we go into dinner and we get our food and we're sitting down. And I asked her, I said, why did you sign up for that? She said, Rachel, oh my gosh. She's like, it's not a big deal. I mean, I got a free dinner. I'm not probably even going to use it. I would just use it just in case there's an emergency. True story, her laptop breaks 2 weeks later. And you can't be a college student without a laptop, right? So she went to the Mac store and got the new MacBook. And she put it on this because this was an emergency. And then our friend got engaged, and they were getting married within, you know, 6 months or something. And so that weekend, we all had to go buy bridesmaids' dresses. We all went to the bridal store and did the measurements. And, you know, you get up to the front to pay for the dress. And, you know, she said, it's $206.11. My friend was like, whew, $200 for this ugly dress? That sucks. And, you know, and I don't have the money, but I got to be at my friend's wedding. I got to stand next to her on her special day, right? Okay, well, I'll just put on this. It's not a big deal. I'll worry about it later. I'll just put on this because this was an emergency. Her bill comes, and there's $1,000 on her Visa bill. And we're sitting literally, true story, in her apartment, and it's on the coffee table, and she was like, that's, you know, that's awful. I wasn't planning on using this, and I did. $1,000, I can't pay for it. So I'm going to pay the minimum payment, which in that case was, you know, $24, and the interest rate was, you know, 28% or something. I'm like fainting in the background. And she, you know, and I looked at that and I was like, gosh, that's brilliant. I mean, you give a college student a credit card just in case there's an emergency, and life in college is an emergency, right? I mean, she didn't take this credit card and, you know, go down to Mexico on spring break and say, go big or go home, spring break 2012, and put everything on this, right? Or she didn't splurge and decide to go get a brand new, just big plasma screen TV with surround sound for her house. You know, she didn't do that. No. Life happens without a plan. And Visa caught her slack. Guess who had a plan? Visa. So they know if they can get their card in your hands, A, you'll be brand loyal to them for the rest of your life, and they're going to be making a lot of money off your age group. So you guys, you have to be aware of this. But Rachel, you know, to have a credit card, you know, you have to have a credit card to check into a hotel, to rent a car. And it's like, okay, we're all living in 2012, right? So we all know a debit card can do everything a credit card can do. From renting a car, hotel, online purchases, all of that. But Rachel, you have to have a credit card to build your credit score. I have to build your credit score. You can't graduate college without a credit score. You know, to have oxygen in life, you have to have a credit score. The great credit score, you give me life, great credit score. Please, great credit score, be good to me, great credit score, right? I mean, people are crazy. Have y'all heard that, you guys? You have to build your credit. You have to have a good, have you guys not heard that? You guys have, right? Okay, I was like, surely in Minnesota that they've heard this, right? Yes, you have to build your credit score. And I heard this from my econ professor. I think I was a senior in college. And he said that. He said, go get a credit card, start building your credit. So when you graduate, you have a credit score. I thought, what is that? Why are people doing this? What is a credit score? And I literally went back, Googled credit score, probably the second website that came down was FICO.com, and FICO is a company that runs that figures out what your credit score is. And so this is what your credit score is. It's made up of 35% of your debt history, 30% of the amount of debt you have, 15% is the length of time you've been in debt, 10% is the new types of debt you're accumulating, and 10% is just the type of debt in general you have. Debt, 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 debt. So if you come up to me and say, Rachel, I have a credit score of 820, I'm going to say, your breath smells like debt because you've been making out with that for a long time. And it's so true because you have to be in debt, staying in debt, yet, yes, being responsible and paying it back, you know. But you have to just, you're in debt your entire existence to get a good credit score. And I thought, okay, well, what do you use a credit score for? Well, you use it to go into more debt, to go get a car loan, to do all these things. And I thought, well, if I'm never going to live life in debt, because I don't believe debt is the wisest choice to use with your money. I believe in being debt-free. If I'm never going to be in debt, do I need a credit score? No. So my credit score is zero. But Rachel, a mortgage on a house, you have to have a credit score for a mortgage. You're not saying to pay cash for a house. Rachel, that's impossible. Okay, no, I'm not saying you have to pay cash for a house. But I did know a couple that graduated from high school, or graduated from college. They got married. She was making $30,000 as a teacher. He was making $50,000. They lived above a little old lady's garage in a one-story apartment. And he cut the grass and did the mulch and did her yard work for free in exchange for rent. And they lived there for 4 years, you guys, okay? Banked his salary, lived off of her $30,000. They wrote a check for a $150,000 house. And he gave her $50,000 to furnish it. Oh! You want a nice TV, guys? That's what you do. You can write a check for a nice TV. I mean, that's insane to me. And they did it. And at 26 years old, they don't have a mortgage payment. Okay? That's crazy. That's not normal, you guys. Normal is graduating, getting married. You're broke because you have so much student loan debt. You go get two brand new cars. You're only making $40,000 and your bank, you know, you get foreclosed on at 32. I mean, life starts happening. That's normal. That's what's going on right now. You've leveraged yourself out so far. So that's normal. And if what they did is weird, put me on that scale, right? I want to be the weirdest person in here because normal is broke and I don't want to be that. So you don't have to pay cash for a house. You can do, not all of you are interested in this, so I'll be quick, but you can do what's called manual underwriting. For you seniors that are going to get a house, write it down. It's called manual underwriting. And they are required to still do this process. They don't do it a lot because it's harder. It takes more work, but you can get a mortgage without a credit score through manual underwriting. So this idea of having to have a credit card, well, I believe you don't have to have a credit card because of everything I just pointed out. So you can have a debit card. And again, a debit card does everything a credit card can do. And a debit card is as safe as a credit card. If you take your debit card, and I'm sure some of you guys have seen this, and you know, you run it at a gas pump or at Target or something, and it comes up debit and credit. Have you guys seen that? And if you click credit and sign your name, then that's good. Because what happens at that point is it goes from Target to Visa or whatever your debit card is to your bank. So if something happens, if your number's taken, your ID's stolen or something, Visa protects you through all of its laws through their credit card and their debit card. Now, if you click debit and put in your PIN number, then Visa steps out of the way at that point and it's just you and your bank. And sometimes everything's not as covered and it kind of gets a little bit more messier. So running your debit card as a credit, it's not a credit card, it's a debit card. It's coming out of your checking account. It has the same protection. So guys, can you imagine, you know, the standard today is it's something like 83% of college students have a credit card. And they're graduating with $3,000 in credit card debt. Could you imagine being free from that and never having a credit card and never being enslaved in that way? I mean, it could happen. It's possible. And I hope you guys take that to heart because, again, I think that's one of the biggest lies that is out there. Now the second piece of debt is the car loan. And I can't really get into this a lot. But if you just run the numbers on a car loan and how much you pay on interest, the amount of interest you pay is usually around $6,000 to $8,000 on average for an average car, about a $22,000 car. $8,000 in interest. You could buy a car for $8,000, right? I mean, the money you're throwing away to a car payment mathematically is just, it's stupid, versus saving up and just paying cash for a car. It's possible, yes, you can do that. Now, is that going to be a nice car you're going to pay for? Probably not, because you're probably only going to have around $3,000 for a car. But guess what? Instead of paying the bank a car loan every month, take that money and just save it. And then in 12 years, guess what? You can sell that $3,000 car for about what you paid for it, right? Because $3,000 cars don't go down in value. And what you can do is just roll that money over, sell it, and then you're stepped up into a $5,000 car. And you just keep doing that, you guys. And that's how wealthy people do it. There's a book called The Millionaire Next Door by Thomas Daley. He was a professor down in Georgia and did all this huge study on millionaires. What is the average millionaire? 8 out of 10 millionaires, 80% of millionaires drive a 2-year-old or older car. So the average millionaire is not driving around with the Mercedes, because guess what? The average millionaire is first generation rich, which means they started with nothing and worked their butts off to get to where they are. So they don't really care if they're going to impress you at a stoplight. They don't care. That's not important to them. So what's happening is that BMW has the highest leasing rate today. They've just exceeded every car. So the most of the Beamers you see are leased, which is even more mathematically crazy than getting a car loan, but we won't get into that. So there's this myth going around, oh, you have a nice car, you must be wealthy. You guys, majority of the nice foreign cars out there, they have a car loan behind them. People can't afford to write a check. Now, I want you guys to get to a point where you can write a check and get a really nice BMW, because I think that's great, and I think you can enjoy what you have. So I'm not mad at BMWs, but I'm mad at this mindset, this mentality that having a car loan is, you're always just going to have a car loan. That's a mentality that's around in America. Or if you have a nice car, then you must be somebody. So just looking at the car loan mathematically, it's not a very smart way to drive a car. Okay, and then the third piece of debt, which is kind of the white elephant in the room a little bit, is the student loan. And, you know, reality is today is that we are the most indebted generation in history. And majority of that is because of the student loan. 91% of college students graduate with a student loan. And so reality is that 9 out of 10 of you in here have a student loan. Again, I do not want to beat you up if that's the case. But what I do want you to do is just think. I feel like that is something that doesn't always happen in our generation. People just go to school, sign a dotted line, and they don't think about it, you know, for 4.5 more years. So what I encourage you guys to do if you're sitting in that position is just to think through, okay, what can I do to eliminate this or to make this debt smaller? Instead of graduating with this much, what can I do right now to graduate with this much? Whether that's planning for the fall semester, you know, be talking to your parents, looking for scholarships, getting 3 jobs this summer. Crazy, I know, right? But just be working and saving and planning and trying the best possible way to cash flow next semester. And that is so what I encourage you guys to do, because I want you to stay in school. I am a proponent of education for sure. But I just want you guys just to think, because I meet some people and they just sign when they're a freshman and they don't think twice about it. So I just want you guys to know that it is gonna happen. If you have taken out a student loan, you will see it one day. It's not this mystical thing that's out there. It is going to be reality. And I'm not mad at you again for it. I don't want to shame you by any means, but just to know that this is reality. Okay, Rachel, I get your stance on debt. I get what Scripture says about debt, but I'm in debt. I am. What do I do? Well, what we teach to do is called the debt snowball. Okay. So the very first thing I want you to do is I want you to save around $500 to $1,000 right now. And that's going to be your emergency fund. So if something comes up, that's your emergency fund. Visa is not there for in case of emergencies. You have a plan for an emergency, and it's cash in the bank. Second, find a way to cash flow next semester like we just talked about. And then third, I want you to just save a pile of money, you know, 3 months worth of expenses. Because when you graduate from college, graduating and entering the real world, it's kind of an expensive transition because you're moving, you're getting new jobs, you know, like it's just money kind of just flows out of that transition. So I want you to have a stockpile of money in the bank for that transition. And then after that, you're going to start focusing on your debt. So more than likely, reality is it's probably not going to be till you have a job. And once you're getting a job and you're getting a paycheck in, then do the debt snowball, which is listing your debt smallest to largest, regardless of the interest rate. But Rachel, the interest rate, isn't that mathematically correct? Well, if we were doing math, we wouldn't be in debt, would we? So debt, I'm just kidding. But debt So it's not about math, right? It's about the behavior change, because personal finance is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. So only 20% of it's getting it. 80% is actually going and applying it. So listing your debts out, smallest to largest, because if you have a $400 credit card bill, right? You do your budget and you see any extra money you have and you just attack that smallest debt. And it's $400 paid off and it's kind of like, okay, I can do this. And then you roll it over to the $700 credit card bill, right? And you pay that off. It's like, okay, I can get this. And then what's left? Maybe it's just a student loan. And that could be the big one, right? But you know, you're focusing and it's going to take some work, take some time, but you eventually could get that paid off. And what's beautiful is God even paints us a picture for this in the Bible. In Proverbs, it says, if you have signed surety, my son, if you've gotten yourself into debt, do this. Okay, when the Lord who made this earth says, do this, we pay attention, right? Okay, do this. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and a bird from the hand of the fowler. Oh, what a beautiful animal picture, Lord. Gazelles and birds, right? Thank you for that. What does that mean? Well, I always think of, you know, just picture the Discovery Channel. If you could just close your eyes, right? And you see the gazelle and they're gazelling around, right? Through the fields. And the Discovery Channel's not there unless the hunter is there, the cheetah, right? And there's the cheetah. I wish I could do a British accent because the commentators on Discovery Channel are always like, look at the cheetah. He's for that, right? I can't even do it. Yeah, Tennessee and British does not work. Okay. But, you know, you see them prowling. And then what happens? You can just imagine watching it. The gazelle does this, right? Freaks out and it's like a buzzer, right? His ears go up and it's like, cheetah! Right? Run! And they're all going and the gazelle's doing this and the cheetah is the fastest moving mammal on dry land, but the cheetah can outrun the gazelle around 7 to 10 times because of its maneuver. It can outrun them because the cheetah gets so exhausted. And then you see this gazelle and it's like, that's what God's telling you to do right there. I mean, that's crazy, right? People don't do this in society. People are just like, well, you're always going to have a car payment, might as well, right? Like, that's Americans, most of them, right? And that is what God is calling you to do, is to go crazy. If you have gotten into debt, do this. You deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. That is crazy, and that's beautiful because I see that. Oh, my God, the intensity. I love it because just being okay with being in debt, you're going to be in debt for your entire life. You know, you're going to be 35 by the time you pay off your student loan. But, God, if I do this, if I do what you're telling me to do, I can have this paid off by the time I'm 26 years old. I can do this. It's going to take focus. It's going to take intensity. But I can do this because when you are debt-free, you guys, the idea that the borrower is slave to the lender is a true emotion, spiritually, emotionally. It is when you owe someone something, there's something there. You feel that. Even if you owe money from your parents, right? I mean, relationships change. You feel different when you owe someone something. We are not supposed to be in those chains of slavery and debt. We are supposed to be free. And you guys, what I love about this is whenever I travel around, or I heard this growing up, basically all my life being with my dad, people would come up to him or come up to me and say, I wish I had known this stuff in college. I wouldn't be 40 years old and where I am. I would have changed my behaviors at 19, 20 years old. And I would be at a completely different place if I had known this stuff early. And what is so powerful, you guys, is you're hearing this at 19, 20, 21 years old. You have the ability to change it. I don't care if your parents are rich or poor. I don't care if you have a student loan or you don't. No matter what position you're in, you have the power to change it. So please don't just settle in the norm of America. Don't do it. Be different. Do what God is calling you to do and be debt-free. Because when you're debt-free and you get your income in, guess what? You get to decide what to do with it. Writing a $20,000 check to Africa to build a well isn't a big deal because you don't have a car loan and a student loan going out. If you guys can get this, I'm telling you, our generation, I so believe that, can change the world because we are the most socially aware generation in history. We care about sex trafficking that's going on, right? We care about orphanages being built in Vietnam. We're wanting to change the world, but we don't have the wallets to do it because, again, we are in debt. And if you can get free, you guys, I believe you can change your family, your future family, and changing the world because there can be so much giving out of this concept.
You've been listening to a message from the Chapel Service at Northwestern College. Today's speaker was Rachel Cruz with Dave Ramsey's Financial Ministry. Daily Chapel Services are a regular part of student life at Northwestern College. And if you'd like to find out more about chapels at Northwestern or any other aspect of life and education at Northwestern College, you can go to our website, faithradionet.com, and click on the link to Northwestern College. And join us next weekend for another message from Rachel Cruz as we bring you Chapel at Northwestern.